the Dallas Mavericks weren't playing the anthem all season this year. No one noticed until just the other day. Right, they went 13 games, never played the anthem before the games. Now the NBA comes out and says it's mandatory. You have to do it. Do you think, do you like the anthems before the game? Do you think it's necessary? Do you think this is something that might change in the future?
Oh, this is, you know, obviously it's taken a lot of prominence down south. Mark Cuban's tap dancing around this thing, and I always just thought it was something we did. I love our national anthem. I think the American anthem, they're both beautiful songs. They get you fired up. And I never really questioned, thought about why we had the anthem before sporting events. I just always assumed that was the way it was. And then certainly, you know, Colin Kaepernick taking a knee during the anthem has brought light to the situation. And social injustices down in the States, and then it took on a whole new meaning over the past summer. And then when I found out, it derives back to what, World War II, Greg's, when they started to do that, build up patriotism, and that's when it really, you know, took off and became a staple at sporting events. I thought to myself, okay, I get it. I mean, the world was at war, this, you know, and it just continued on. I'm going to say this. If they don't play the national anthems before games, I will not be offended. I still love my country. I love the United States of America. I would not be offended that if before an Edmonton Oilers-Calgary Flames game, we didn't hear the Canadian national anthem, it would not hurt my feelings one bit. It wouldn't completely, it would not, I'd be unwavered in my thought about our country. And if they just, you know, played some pump-up song and went right into the game, I'd be cool with it. If they can continue to have it and they kept it, great. It doesn't affect me one way or the other. This has obviously become a big thing down south. I don't know where it goes. I don't even know what the right answer to this, Greg's, is. I just know that in my heart, I love my country, love the flag, love the song. If they don't play it before sporting events, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, right? To everybody, it's going to impact them differently. And, you know, we pose the question and we get some people like, yeah, no problem, don't need it. Others who really want it, and that's fine. I don't think there's no clear-cut right answer. I think sometimes in our society now we get too caught up in what's right or wrong sometimes, because when something like this is just it's an opinion on it, there's nothing statistical that you can back it up. Like when you talk about COVID, there's a clear right or wrong answer. This is how it spreads. Yeah. That's correct. Like, there's scientific proof for it. So those things can be right or wrong, but other things on what somebody deems valuable to them or meaningful might not be the same for others. And I can have conversations. People don't need to yell and scream and get upset about it. But it is interesting to see where it goes from here. Starts a conversation, for sure. Now, the conversation for the Edmonton Oilers.
Pardon? Oh, Greg's. So I was just going to say, hey, if it brings up a conversation and gets people talking about the right things and being better neighbors and all that, then fine. Positivity, building in the right direction. But if you yell at me that we need to hear the anthem, I'll listen to the anthem. I love it regardless. But, you know, if we don't play it, so be it.
The Edmonton Oilers last night, not their best effort overall. I think the shot clock's a little bit misleading as far as, you know, the amount of like high quality chances. Ottawa took a lot of outside shots, but Mikko Koskinen made some key saves when he needed. And the Oilers, the difference was Koskinen was just better than the other goalie. And I said this yesterday, Hogberg's not good, and he showed it. Like the Darnell Nurse goal, the Tyson Barrie goal, but hey, Edmonton took advantage of it because here's the thing, later in the season, Hogberg might not be the backup. They might have to look for another goaltender in their system just to say, we can't have a guy in the NHL who's consistently, you know, like now he was .844 going in and somehow his save percentage got worse. Like that's how bad he was. That you actually got worse and now it's .841, I think it is. So obviously not good for him. But, you know, the Oilers and Evan Bouchard, that I've seen some people saying, oh, you know, when Bear's back, Bouchard comes out. I disagree. I would probably move Barrie to the left side and play Bouchard because I think in his minutes, he needs experience, but he hasn't been, you know, there's going to be games where he makes a mistake because he's a rookie defenseman. But if he's in your third pair, I'm okay with it because his skills with the puck, while he's not making glaring defensive errors, I can live with it.
he's carrying the puck more too. Did you notice that through the neutral zone? Not afraid to dangle a little bit and give himself a better look at an open man streaking up the ice. And that, I think, is a sign that he's starting to feel it at the NHL level as well. I know Dave Tippett talked about this in his morning press conference today, and you were in on that call. It sounds like he is angling more towards warming up to 11-7. And he, you know, he talked about the downside of it. It's hard to get into a rhythm. You're tinkering with your lines. You'll have guys that end up inadvertently sitting for a while unless you're actively trying to get them back into the game. But it seems like, given the play that we're witnessing from Evan Bouchard and at the same time Willie Lagesson, it's like, well, what do you do? You've got some guys that in your bottom six right now aren't playing up to snuff. I think of Kyle Turris. I think that's an easy one to point to. And you go, well, we go 11-7, keep developing these guys in Lagesson and Bouchard. They keep contributing the way they have. I can't believe the Oilers are the top offensive blue line in the league right now. That's incredible to me. And Bouchard's contributed to that. Obviously, Darnell Nurse has done that. So it's almost like by circumstance and results, Dave Tippett saying maybe 11-7 for the time being is the way to go. And it feels like everything's going to be a game-by-game basis and decision at this point in time, which is interesting. And it's, you know, being forced into that situation. And it's a good problem to have right now when you have too many guys on the back end that are capable of providing a decent night for you. And you got to find ways to get them into the lineup. And then this has also left Caleb Jones out of the mix, which is incredible because a few weeks ago, we're talking about a guy that's supposed to be taking the next step in his career.
Yeah, it's early, right? I think Jujhar Kerr is, you know, when you get back in the lineup and there's competition, you got to take it, right? It's yeah. Never just a clear, now you know what, now ready for takeoff, and you just keep accelerating up, higher into the sky, right? Like there's going to be some bumps, there's going to be some turbulence along the way, and I think Caleb Jones had some turbulence earlier this season, and, you know, when he gets back in, he'll have to elevate his game, because I'll say this, you know, a few weeks ago, I don't know any listener or any of us on the station who thought we'd be saying, man, look at how good Jujhar Kerr has played, but for the last three games, he's been excellent, and that line's been really good.
Disparity, man. It's incredible. He has been effective. We know his abilities on the PK. You've alluded to the stats when he's out there killing penalties and how good he is at not allowing goals, and that's backed up by sheer numbers. But it's good to see him playing big boy hockey. He's getting rewarded offensively. He scored that goal against Calgary with the beautiful redirection. And that's kind of the Jujhar Kerr everyone was getting glimpses of in previous years and hoping he'd find a way to be consistent with playing that style. And maybe finally, I don't know, because it seems like time after time, whenever he has a few good games, we go, hey, he's arrived. He's figured it out. But at this moment in time, he's gotten the wake-up call. And now all you can ask him to do is continue to really play the way he has. It's pretty straightforward hockey for him, and if he can do that, then the whole team benefits and the bottom six benefits, and we're talking about a guy that's maybe realizing his potential. And the other thing, too, is he's been around for a while. He was drafted 9 years ago now. He's had his fair share of chances. He's not a up-and-coming prospect by any means, but it is nice to see Jujhar Kerr getting some results and playing that way at a time when the team needs him to do that.
And before we go, an interesting story, kind of sad a little bit. The Midtown Krispy Kreme, which was opened back in 1965 in Atlanta, has burnt down. Now, this one's iconic for people wondering why you're talking about a Krispy Kreme, because when Martin Luther King had his funeral in 1968, this Krispy Kreme store fed all the mourners by donating donuts to all the Atlanta churches, because that was, you know, that was a horrible, horrible situation. Mm-hmm. Shaquille O'Neal actually bought this location specifically to keep it going because it's so historic and means a lot to people. And my question to you is, Tommy, do you have a favorite Krispy Kreme flavor donut?
Their glazed is outstanding. Like, it's just the classic, right? It's a throwback. I like the glaze, but I'm a sucker for the maple dip. And you're right about this. It's a nondescript Krispy Kreme location, but the historic relevance of it is incredible. And I think the sign, Greg's, too, that it has like an old neon sign that was untouched, thankfully. And you can rebuild, you know, if you see the building and the images of it, you're like, ah, it doesn't look like much, but it's the historic relevance of it. It's got the sign. Sign was untouched. Toss me a classic glazed or a maple dip any day from Krispy Kreme. And that baby has no chance with me.
I'll tell you, the Oreo cookie and cream that they have, it's unbelievable. All right, because I don't see any place in Canada that's had it. Maybe somebody does here, and there's a lot of great local donut places. We've talked about them on the show. It's the one thing that I like to indulge in every now and then is a really good donut. But if somebody wants to tell me if there's an Oreo cookie and cream one around, because trust me, the one from Krispy Kreme was unreal. So good.
Have you ever had Voodoo Donuts from, I know the Portland location is the original, but it is absolutely nuts what they do with donuts.
Really? No, I've never had that.
Check it out. It's like a donut sandwich, basically. These things are monster-sized. I think you can get like golden grams. You can get, it's almost like a cake on a donut, man. It's unbelievable. It's just a pure sugar rush, the most unhealthy, delicious thing you can ever imagine.
Well, I'll tell you right now, for people who right now maybe want a little good ones in Edmonton, the Destination Donuts is quite good.
Yes.
But the Ohana Donutry on just off of White Ave on 103rd and 80th Avenue. People have told me, they text in the show about Moonshine Donuts. I've never tried it, but I can tell you the Ohana one, I recommend it. Like every time I think about it, I'm like, I guess I might have to drive to the south side just to get it because it's that good. So
we've got some sneaky good spots in this city when it comes to cuisine and snacks, that's for sure.
Have a great night, Tommy. Enjoy the Montreal-Toronto game. We'll be watching a little scouting. Of course, the Oilers will take on the Canadiens tomorrow night, and an opportunity to bounce back after Montreal, I really thought, kind of dominated them in two games earlier this year. So we'll talk about that as well.
The scouting hat is on, my friend.